Galatians chapter number 2 tonight, book of Galatians chapter number 2. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the Holy Spirit of God. Before I say anything else, there's something that really bothers me about this when I speak of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever talk about Holy Spirit without using the article the? I mean, we don't normally talk about the God or the Jesus, but when it comes to the Spirit of God, it's always the Spirit. And it really has bothered me for the last year or so. I don't know how else to say it, and it just comes out so easily, but he's not an it. And that word the, in my mind, makes him more like an it. Does that do that to you? Am I the weird one? Okay. I can handle that. Since Julie said it, I don't believe it. But anyways. If you would please, Galatians chapter number 2, verse 19 through 21. And notice what it says. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege to gather together. I ask that you would teach us, help us have open hearts to your word. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint from above, and the things that are said would certainly be honoring to you, and certainly that which would point us to the authority of the Word of God. We ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, there I said it. Do you know he is mentioned 88 times in the Old Testament? We don't often think of the Holy Spirit being mentioned there, but he is. In the New Testament, he is mentioned 262 times. That's a lot. Matter of fact, the book of Acts takes the record with 57 times it's spoken of. Somebody has said that we ought to rename the book of Acts instead of the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Certainly wouldn't be off base with that thought. It's interesting because though there's 57 there, in the four Gospels preceding it, he's mentioned 56 times. And in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, as we find here in the book of Galatians, he is mentioned 113 times. Is he important? Is he important? He is a part of the Godhead. Yes, he's important. And yet we find that down through the centuries, very little was written by or about the Holy Spirit of God. Very little was written about our need of his leadership and of his empowerment. And much of what the people received during that period of time was not from the preaching, not from the books that were published, but from the songs that they sang. It was probably the only place they got much about Holy Spirit of God. Now, in the last century, there's been a renewal of interest into this person of the Godhead. However, much of what is written today, much of what is believed and practiced, bears very little resemblance of him. As a result, there are all sorts of actions that are credited to him wrongly. Most of what is done today is seeking to draw attention to the person, which reveals the real person behind whatever it is they're doing. From gibberish to shaking to laughing, one thing after another trying to take the spotlight. I saw a video the other day. I sat there in shock almost, as in a church service they brought a woman up And as soon as they introduced her, she started shaking her head and began to feel her body. And after a while, somebody says, well, what about your foot? And she kicks off her shoes and she starts shaking her foot. And they're saying that's a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I thought, wow. Looked to me like something besides the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Looked like a woman was crazy who needed a straitjacket. And what was interesting to me is when she got done, it just stopped immediately. She found her shoes and walked off the platform. And they were all in awe about it. It's not about the Holy Spirit with so many, it's about their own selves. What we do know, though, is that you and I, we need the power of the Spirit of God to be effective for God. We need that power that He has. We need His leadership. We need His empowerment. We look to the Word of God and we find that Jesus Christ is our great example. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, it says, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. His conception was in the Holy Ghost. A little bit later, we read about him in Luke chapter 2. It says, and the child grew, referring to Christ, of course, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And of course, you and I, we know that at his baptism, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him. Luke 3:22 records it, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, thee I am well pleased. So he was conceived of the Spirit of God. We find that he grew strong in the Spirit of God. We find at his baptism that the Spirit of God descends upon him. We find in Luke chapter number 4, just after his baptism, in verse number 1, it says, and the Holy Ghost descended, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him into that wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But was also, by the way, the Spirit of God, I believe, that empowered him through that particular time. We find that he returned and he began to teach in the power of the Spirit of God. It says in chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now the Lord Jesus Christ took on himself a body. And of course the human body has its limitations. And to do so, he had to set aside some of his divine attributes. But never, I believe, never did he set aside his deity. We find some instances throughout the Word of God where he knew some things that mortal man did not know. And we find that he did all in the power of the Spirit of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now think about that for a moment. That's talking about his deity, he's equal with God. He didn't think that was robbery, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and be found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And so our Lord and Savior, He depended on the Holy Spirit of God. We could go on throughout the Gospels and find many, many instances where the Spirit of God moved and led, and he spoke through the power of that. We also find from the Word of God that the early disciples depended upon him, depended upon the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, they were told to wait for that. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, he have heard of me. And that promise was that the Spirit of God would come upon them in His fullness. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, in chapter number 2, verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so we find they needed the Spirit of God to do that. By the way, just for your sake in that, I don't believe other tongues is referring to a bunch of gibberish. When you read the book of Acts, you find at least 16 different groups of people or 16 different languages that were being spoken there, Jews who had come from those places. And so they were really able to hear in their native tongue, which we find from the Word of God was something God said He would do that they might know. In chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He was filled with the Spirit. You go a little farther in that chapter, and it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Over and over and over again, we find mention about how the disciples needed the Spirit of God. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." In chapter 6, also in verse 10, it says, "They were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which He spake." If they needed Him so much, we need Him more. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit of God, then we certainly do. If those early disciples needed the Spirit of God, then certainly we do. Now, I realize that the Lord says the great commandment is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart. But as I think about from that time onward, and I consider the Holy Spirit of God, I think there's a great command in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is not to walk in self. Not to walk in ourselves. What did it say here in verse number 20? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What must take place in our lives in order for the Spirit of God to have that place, that position that is so needed? And it's very simply this: self must die. Death means that many of the things that we say, the disparaging words, they will die. It means your feelings will die. The topic at hand is, are you living in the Spirit of God? Can you honestly say that your fleshly appetite is completely controlled by the Spirit of God? It ought to be, amen? But is it? How can we determine if we truly walk in the Spirit? Is Christ really at the center of your life, or is it you? I'm going to propose two things that we can use as a guide. Number one, do you get your feelings hurt? Do you get your feelings hurt? If Christ is really first place, why are we even talking about how we feel? Seriously. Right here is the weakness of Christianity in our day, as we focus on our feelings rather than the Lord. I mean, seriously, what are all the mega churches about? Feelings. It's not about thus saith the Lord. It's not about exaltation of him, but exaltation of self. Do you get your feelings hurt? Think about it in this light. Do you ever get angry over what someone has said to you or about you? If you're dead, what does it matter? What does it matter? Doesn't matter a bit if we're dead to self, does it? Do you get depressed over issues? It's a big problem amongst God's people. What's the problem there? They're not dead. What does it matter if you are dead? Let me ask you this question. If you get left out of something, do you get hurt by it? Again, what does it matter if you're dead? We are to, what, die to self. He says, I am crucified with Christ. And there's where we ought to be. If Christ lives in us, why do we get upset about something concerning dead people? And by that I mean ourselves. What does it matter if you're dead? So the question is, do you get your feelings hurt? Are we really living for God or for self? If we're dead to self and we're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, wow. I was reading today and thinking about it. Moses, when they were criticizing him and they were really upset with him, and he said to the people, you're not complaining to me, you're complaining to God. Because for Moses, it wasn't about him, it was about God. The second question I'd like to ask you is this. Are you critical? Are you critical? This is interesting because sometimes we get critical of those who are critical. Have you ever noticed that? Boy, I can do that. What we see in others, we are blind to in ourselves so often. When the Lord was confronted with a woman taken in adultery, he didn't condemn her, but reversed the accusation against her accusers. They were critical of her. And he says, hey, wait a minute. What about yourselves? What about yourself? When you and I, if we see someone that has sinned, do we make remarks to other people or do we go to them in love? Brethren, if a man will be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what are we to do? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Along the same line, I would ask this question, are our words edifying or electrifying? Our words reveal our heart, do they not? In Matthew chapter 12, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Think about this for a moment. Dead men don't speak. But Christ living in us can speak. If we allow him that position in our lives, the words that come from our mouth, and please don't misunderstand that, can be the very words of God. And I'm not talking about inspiration here. So I come to another question. How can I die? We die physically. How does that happen? Well, sickness or an accident normally is what gets us. One or the other, it comes. And you understand something? We get so sick of living the way that we do and give up and let death come. We're now at the spot we die to self. We're sick of what's going on in our lives. An accident happens out of nowhere without expectation. And a traumatic event in our life, which you have no control over, we just have to give it to the Lord. and let him have it, and die to self. How can I die? I can die physically, but I can also die spiritually. Let me give you one word of caution. Our flesh has a way of resurrecting, and we must die all over again. That's why Paul said, I die what? Daily. It's a constant battle. You see, when he tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God, that is really the present perfect tense, be. And what it's saying is, it's a continuous act. It's onward and forward. Walking in the Spirit is what a continuous action. And we're not going to walk in the Spirit, we're not going to live in the Spirit as long as we are alive to self. How can we check that? Well, look at your feelings. Do they get hurt over stuff? Then you're probably not dead to self. Do you get critical of people? The Lord certainly wasn't. They came being critical. And so often we were living in the power of the flesh as opposed to the power of the Spirit of God. And you and I, what do we need? Comes down very simply. We need to die to self. It's not about us. Some of you remember a few years back at camp, and I think the slogan was something like this. It's not about us, but it's all about Him. And how true that is. It's not about us. It's all about Him. What a difference it makes in our lives. Father, tonight, thank you so much for these moments together. I pray, oh God, that you help us to understand this crucial matter. Help us, oh God, to not only understand it, but to learn how to practice it. That we might certainly die to self, we might live in the Spirit. And thus not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that which seems to tear us down and keep us from serving you as we ought. Bless you in the next few moments. We hear the letter of one of our missionaries. We pray that through that our hearts might be lifted, and that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.